Lisa, and thank you for joining us on the 37th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing a couple of films that weren't afraid to kill off some kids. So, Clown and Dead Silence. Both of them are streaming on Netflix. And we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so if you have not seen these yet, please feel free to do so before continuing with the episode. So much kid death in these movies.
Yeah, there's...
Not afraid to go there.
Especially the second one.
Yeah, beware. If you are not... if you are sensitive to child death in films...
Don't watch either of these movies.
I don't think either of these are for you. But before we jump into that, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is It Stains the Sand Red, which doesn't have a wide release date yet, but it's going to be debuting at the LA Film Festival on June 20th. So, on your neck of the woods there, Carly. Yeah,
maybe I'll go check it out.
It's directed and written by Colin Minahan and also written by Stuart Ortiz. The IMDb summary is, in the throes of a zombie apocalypse, a troubled woman from Las Vegas with a dark past finds herself stranded in the desert with a lone and ravenous zombie on her tail.
With a dark past.
Of course.
Gotta throw She's that from... in there. Bless you.
Excuse me. Whew. I don't think I've ever sneezed on the podcast before.
I don't think you have either.
Oh, it's a Final Girls first. You heard it here first, folks.
Hooray!
It's a real milestone. Oh my god. So Carly, you really liked the music in this show?
It's like what it is every 5 seconds. It's like every big, and this isn't even like a huge movie, but it's like every big blockbuster ever. Bah, bah, bah.
You're right. It totally is like the Transformer trailers
yes.
music.
Oh my gosh. And this movie is filmed very brightly. So it's like totally Michael Bay's like feel to it. Yes. Probably with less explosions maybe, but maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe not. But more scorpions.
Way more tiny baby scorpions on faces.
Tiny, adorable. They're very cute. I mean, I'm not a fan of scorpions, but they're still pretty cute. They're so little.
That little guy was so tiny.
Well, it's a small budget. They couldn't afford the big, scary ones. They just got the little baby ones.
Oh, man. I was so distracted by that, the music, though.
I always want to be, like, giving props to actors, especially women actors, who have insects or anything on their faces when they're filming movies, because that shit's not cool.
Me too. Kudos to you.
Now, if you, Carly, were offered this role, how would you feel about the scorpion on the face thing?
Honestly, I've picked up a scorpion before with my hand, so... Yeah. I'm assuming, like, baby scorpion on my face wouldn't be, like, too crazy. As long as it's... I wouldn't be able to do spider, I feel like. I would probably throw up on myself. But I think I could do baby scorpion.
Baby... Just a baby one.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine, like, a huge... Because the scorpion that I picked up was, like, the size of my hand.
Oh. That's too big.
It was my friend's.
Why did you pick that up?
Well, it was my friend's pet scorpion. I may have been a little wasted... And all of my guy friends were like, I just want to pick it up. Let's pick it up. And I was like, fuck it. And then I just scooped my hand in there.
Badass drunk Carly.
And I was like, oh, this scorpion?
Oh, wow. Drunk Carly's a bit of a badass.
That's true. I'm a lot, yeah. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it.
Drunk Carly will stab a bitch. Watch
Probably.
Out. Probably. Probably. but again, about this film instead of just, I don't know, I get so distracted. I mean, just, it's another zombie movie, right? I mean, it's nice because it's a little bit different spin. I couldn't quite tell if it was the same zombie the whole time. I know that the IMDb summary says it's a lone zombie.
Yeah,
but
I think
I'm watching the trailer,
one.
It looks like a couple different zombies.
I think it's the one guy, but again,
Okay. So just assuming it's one zombie, why doesn't she just fucking kill the zombie? She has rocks. There's boulders and rocks everywhere. Just throw a fucking rocks at it until you hit its head and it falls down and then smash its brain in.
Legitimately, like, that's the first thing that I thought.
And she looks like she's been through some shit.
Yeah.
She could probably do that.
I agree with you. I was like, okay, I'm going to call bullshit here because if it's one zombie.
Yeah.
I'm not crossing a fucking desert. Because this one zombie's chasing me.
No. That seems... Although, I think it's like... It's an apocalypse, right? It's not...
Right.
It's happening everywhere.
But, yeah. But, I mean...
Just fucking kill the thing.
Yeah. And then you're alone in the desert with no zombies.
You're like, a Vegas native and you don't have a gun in your car? I thought that's, like, how Vegas worked.
Probably.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not that excited about this, to be honest with you, but I think I would watch it if it was streaming.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So, not excited, but would watch.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Moving on. Let's talk about Clown. I'm so excited to talk about this movie. From 2016, it's directed by John Watts, written by Christopher Ford and John Watts. The IMDb summary is, a loving father finds a clown suit for his son's birthday party, only to realize that it's cursed. So, initial thoughts, Carly, on this film. This is a first viewing for both of us.
Yes, it was. I liked the premise of it just fine. I was really... taken aback by all the child murder. Usually movies kind of shy away from it.
This movie does not shy away with child murder.
And like child's like jaws and ribs and like just hanging out, being all over the place.
Biting children's fingers off.
I didn't realize, because I don't know if I was really paying attention, that Eli Roth was Frowny the Clown.
Wait, he was one of the clowns? Which clown was he?
Yeah, he was Frowny the Clown. I guess he produced...
Oh, got you. Like the one that was in the videotapes?
Well. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I was like, who's Frowny?
Right. Got it. I had to like look it up. Well, I mean, I didn't look it up specifically for that, but I was, reading about it. And that was a fun fact that came up.
This might be my favorite movie that Eli Roth is involved in.
Probably. Yeah.
It might be. I really liked this, though I'm not saying it's perfect because it's fucking not. But it's really fun to watch and has some seriously frightening stuff. I don't recommend this for everybody because it certainly isn't for everybody. This is like, I feel like this is for like legit horror fans and basically that's it.
Yeah, and people that don't mind like, you know, body horror and stuff like that.
There's a lot of body horror. That's why I liked it so much.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Like when he's in the bathroom and he's trying to like cut his suit out. But for some reason he's got like a box cutter by his wrist and then is like surprised when he slashes his wrist.
Well, the beginning of this movie is genuinely funny. Like dark humor, but still like funny. Like when he gets the saw and like brings it in the bathroom, he's like, I'm just going to borrow this. And he puts it up to his neck and he's like, this is a fucking stupid idea.
So like when they went to the like Chuck E. Cheese, I didn't realize it was a Chuck E. Cheese. Totally thought it was like a Discovery Zone because it's a lot bigger than any Chuck E. Cheese's that
the
I've been to.
Yes. Do they still have those?
Sure don't. But I got really excited when I saw that because I was like, oh man, Discovery Zone. But then again, I read about it and it was a Chuck E. Cheese. And I was like, that was far too big to be a Chuck E. Cheese.
It was definitely a Chuck E. Cheese because they don't show it like plain and center Chuck E. Cheese. But when they drive up, you can see the reflection on the car. So it reads it backwards.
Gotcha.
So that's how I knew it was Chuck E. Cheese. But yeah, it's not like this is they don't even show like the animatronic animals, which.
Well, and I don't know. I've never like I've been to a few. I've never seen one that big before with like that much of a.
I haven't been to a Chuck E. Cheese since the age of like 8 or something.
Right. But I think you can't go in there unless you have a child.
I genuinely remember like getting lost in like the mazes and stuff because they do have like legit maze things.
Yeah.
And this
totally.
One did have like maze things, which was cool because it kind of brought back memories for me where I was like, I kind of remember that. I remember there being like a big giant cheese with holes in it and you could crawl through the different holes and getting lost in there and my mom freaking out.
In the ball pit.
Yeah, lots of ball. I love the ball pit scene. This is such great.
Somebody peed.
Yeah.
Nope, that's blood.
Yeah, that's blood.
All over your body.
Yeah. It's so good. This movie's really good. It's so, I just enjoyed it so much.
It was a lot of fun for sure.
I can't believe how much I enjoyed this. And I knew it was, like, I knew a lot of people liked it. But, you know, I'm a hater. I hate everything. According to modern horrors, I fucking hate everything. Fuck those guys, by the way.
I love them.
Fucking assholes. Did you hear them on the last episode just fucking, like, hating on me every fucking 5 minutes?
Pretty sure they just said Final Girls. It was a general statement.
No, they said it twice, and they legit said Amy at one point. So, nice try, Carly. Nice try defending your bros.
I'm doing my best here.
Yeah.
Defending everyone.
Nope. I'm the self-proclaimed little sister of modern horrors. They like to pick on me. But anyway, no, I really did enjoy this, and I had a really good time watching it, and there is just so much good stuff here. But I don't recommend this for anyone who's squeamish or likes a more subdued horror movie. This is not that. This is very intense and gruesome and funny and just awesome. And I liked everything, almost everything about it. Is there anything that turned you off about this movie, Carly?
I don't think so.
What about the puppy decapitation?
I knew that it was happening when it happened, but I obviously didn't look at it while it was happening. But
it looked just like a dog is barking. I'm gonna cover my eyes.
I was like, oh, he's pissed. And then I saw the guy come in with the axe, and so then I was like, yep, that's fine.
And that is the second where I was confused about what was happening in this movie.
Because why was he a zombie?
How does that guy know where they live?
Well, I'm pretty sure he's just a creeper, so that doesn't surprise me.
You think he just followed them?
Yeah, I totally do.
He was in the hospital.
But I think he followed the wife.
Oh. He somehow got out of the hospital without anyone noticing and followed her home.
I mean, he's
I guess that's
dude.
Possible. I wish they showed that though, because
But then it wouldn't have been a surprise when he decapitated the weird
or
zombie.
Or she could
dog.
Have at least say, how did you get in here or something, or how did you know where
I don't know.
We
I
were.
Feel like her reaction was get out. That's what I would be get I don't want you anywhere near my family.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better because I was like, how the fuck does he know where they live?
Well, because she visited him at the hospital.
No,
and
that's
I'm sure
right.
afterwards, I mean, he just followed her. That was what I assumed.
That was my one thing that I was upset about.
But my one thing was sense. Why is he a zombie dog?
Because he ate the nose.
Oh.
And they even say any part of the costume will
possess
you with the demon. How great is it that the clown suit is made out of demon skin? Fucking brilliant.
I really liked the book, too.
And the Oscar goes to brilliant writing.
But wait, what's the deal with the 5 months of winter?
Well, a child to eat for every month of winter. It's when you're hibernating. I don't know. That's kind of he lives in a cave and he needs to eat a kid for every month of winter. I just equated that to hibernation.
Winter's definitely not 5 months.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that long in America, but I think didn't he say it was Icelandic or something where they have 5 months of winter?
But a year is 12 months. So every there's still
no,
seasons.
No, I understand.
Even if first day of winter.
I mean, okay. Not legit.
That was the one thing I was I call bullshit.
Okay, I don't mean a literal winter where I understand every season is 3 months long. But I'm thinking more where with the folklore and where this came from, it was a cold region of the world. And maybe they just meant the season, the snowfall season is 5 months or something.
Okay, well, according to meteorologists, it's 3 calendar months.
Well, every season is 3 calendar months.
Exactly.
But I just mean, do you know what I understand that the phrasing could have been better.
Yeah, it felt strange. And for some reason, they kept saying it over and over. One for each month of winter. And I was I can't. That was my one thing. I can't with the 5 months of winter.
Yeah, but killing 3 kids wouldn't have been enough. This movie would have been boring.
He would have already met his quota.
Yeah. I could have just been five kids, one for each month of snowfall.
See, if they would have phrased it differently, I probably would have been more accepting.
It's just because they said winter.
5 months of winter.
Winter is coming.
Bullshit. Yeah, this, this isn't Westeros. Please.
It could be. Maybe it's Westeros and winter lasts years.
Right? Iceland. Because
in Game of Thrones, winter lasts years.
It's true, but this is not Westeros.
I'm just saying.
This could be. The United, or not the United States. This is the world. This is the earth.
This is the earth that we live on.
Oh, that's so funny.
So anyway, you put on the clown suit. It becomes a part of you, and then you turn into this demon. And his transformation into this demon is, like, really gruesome and amazing. Because at first, it's just comical. He can't get this thing off. When the wife pulls his nose off, I am, like, I was giddy. It was... I was way too excited about that scene. I was like, yes! Pull it off! His nose is gonna come off! It's gonna be amazing!
I like that he just, like, taped something over it.
Carly just has a dog in the background of her camera right now, and it's a dog with a giant cone on its head.
That's Thor.
And she's just acting like it's normal, and we're trying to have a legit conversation, and I can't.
What are you doing, buddy?
Why does Thor have a giant cone on his head?
Because,
is he okay?
Yes, he is fine, but he likes to eat his tail sometimes.
Oh, that's not good. Okay, sorry. Back
on
topic.
So now he's the Pixar eye.
And there's so much bodily fluids in this movie. No penile ones. No penile bodily fluids. But there is snot and vomit and blood, all of which are like rainbow colored.
Can we talk about the Hot Tub Club sweatshirt that the little kid is wearing? Because I was like, oh my God.
I didn't notice that.
I want that sweatshirt.
Wait, he has a... What does his sweatshirt say?
The Hot Tub Club.
I didn't see that.
I was so distracted by it. That's I noticed so weird things at movies. It was the kid where he was staying in the motel.
Oh, that kid was so cute and ridiculous.
He
and I was like,
probably deserved to die though, because he definitely broke into someone else's room.
Yeah, he totally did.
Like, bad news for him is that he was
really
excited
about a clown.
He was, and like. I don't know any kid that would be excited about that particular clown because that particular clown is terrifying.
That kid might have been homeless, though. So yeah, he might be excited about any kind of clown that exists in the world.
Where are your parents?
He didn't have any.
He had zero parents.
I made up a story in my head that his parents owned the motel.
That would actually make a lot of sense because he did have the keys to all the rooms.
He's basically baby Norman Bates.
Not anymore, he's not.
No. Oh my God. The scene where he tries to decapitate himself. Fuck. It's so good. Who thinks of this shit? With the table saws and the falling back on the chair. And I was like, oh.
I did really like the effect where he shot himself.
And then it was like rainbow blood on the back of the...
Yeah.
Shower?
Yeah.
It's great. And you would think rainbow snot and rainbow blood, there's no way that can be disturbing. It's just going to be funny. But for some reason, it works. Like, it's still kind of like, it's like a dingy rainbow. It's not like a bright and shiny rainbow.
Yeah, it was mostly like yellows and greens, kind of.
Yeah.
But it was also like a really good shot, and they held it for like, an appropriate amount of time. Like, it wasn't too long, but it wasn't too, like, I felt very satisfied.
Yeah.
With that shot.
And just in general, the pacing in this movie is pretty good. I liked how fast it moved in the beginning, because it didn't move so fast that you felt like you were missing out on something or that you couldn't be in the moment, but it moved fast enough that I was satisfied with everything happening.
Yeah. I love when the crazy guy, tries to chop his head off and like just gets him like right in the neck and the guy's like, oh my God. His face is so funny. He tried to chop my head off.
It's got the dude from fucking Fargo in it, and he looks exactly the same as he does in Fargo. I mean, he looks a little bit older, but not much. Maybe it's the beard that covers up the old, but he doesn't look like he's aged very much. He looks great. I forget that guy's name, but I love Fargo.
I was just gonna look it up.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
It's super fun.
There's a really weird like switch in this movie where it goes from following the husband and his point of view to following the wife and her point of view. That happens basically halfway through the movie. That's pretty smooth, I would think, for such a drastic point of view switch.
Yeah, she definitely kind of takes over after she brings him back from the motel.
Yeah, because up until the point where the demon takes over his body, it's like all him and his point of view. It's like him trying to take the suit off, him dealing with his own shit, him having to talk to family and explain to his wife and find his way to trying to deal with it, which he does a very terrible job at, but he tries. And then as soon as it's like there's no coming back, it switches to the wife's point of view, which I would think is a pretty difficult thing to accomplish in a satisfying way in a movie. And I think they did a pretty good job of that. You don't see it too often in movies that the point of view changes like that. So I thought that was interesting.
I liked it.
It was an interesting choice, but I think it worked. It worked for me anyway. If someone told me that was going to happen, I'd probably be like, that doesn't sound like a good idea, but it really worked. I did call the father getting his kid's bullies. I wrote that down early. I was like, oh, those kids are going to get it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. There was also a really great part where Carlson, I think, is my favorite character ever. He's so great. He's talking to the son, Jack, and he goes, Jack, we have to kill your daddy. Like, just so very, like, yeah, honest and, like, blunt. And the mom is like, what are you doing?
She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Back up.
I just love that line. I don't know why. And then when they're crawling through they're at the Chuck E. Cheese, and they're crawling through the tube to find the clown, and the little girl's like, don't go up there.
Yeah.
So the little girl knows that a kid is getting murdered by a clown. She doesn't seem that scared, but
she's
she
out.
Legit is like, don't go up there.
You'll probably die.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't end well for them.
No. Well,
I'm telling
for one
you.
Of them, one of them made it.
There was some really good stuff here. I'm surprised that this movie got shelved for so long. I mean, this movie, it was filmed in 2012 and no one saw it until 2016. So it's a long time.
That's crazy.
And it really didn't even get released until 2016. But luckily we're able to stream it now. I really urge you all to watch it if you have not already.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Really bloody good time. Are we ready for Dead Silence?
So ready.
So ready for Dead Silence. Okay. Dead Silence from 2007, directed by James Wan, written by Leigh Whannell. Whannell. I'm going to go with Whannell and James Wan. The IMDb summary is, a young widower returns to his hometown to search for answers to his wife's murder, which may be linked to the ghost of a murdered ventriloquist. Really, IMDb? Way to give away the ending.
Seriously.
I guess if we put the word maybe.
Maybe linked.
It may be linked. Hmm. No one will know it's a spoiler if we put maybe. Maybe this is the ending. You'll never know. Oh. So this movie, Carly, you've been wanting to do this one. You like Dead Silence quite a bit.
I think yes? It's fun. I like the guy that... I saw this movie in theaters, and I don't think I've seen it since. But I like that the guy that plays the main character is Anna Paquin's brother on True Blood. And I just love him so much. He's adorable. But yeah, it was kind of fun to revisit because I really hadn't seen it in quite a while. And it's just like, I don't know. I just think this movie's super fun. Like, everything about it's kind of ridiculous, but I honestly like Mary Shaw is really terrifying. Like, that woman is just super scary looking to me.
I think that she's like a good before Insidious scary lady, because I feel like the hag in Insidious is kind of similarly looking to the old lady in this movie. James Wan likes a scary old lady. He's into a scary old lady.
Yes.
I How do you, before we start digging into this, let's talk about James Wan for a minute. How do you feel about James Wan films? Are you into Saw movies at all? I don't really know your feelings on him at all.
I enjoyed the first Saw movie.
Okay.
And did he do the second one?
I don't really know how many of them he did, honestly. I think he did a couple of them, but I'm not sure if he did the second one. I know in one of the movies, Luke from Gilmore Girls is in it, but I don't remember.
He's in he's in like a lot of them. He's in like two or three of them, I feel like.
I should probably revisit those so I can enjoy Luke.
Yeah.
We also got the girl from Seventh Heaven is in the second one, I think.
I don't remember. I remember, I think I remember liking the second one. I just remember that part where, like, someone gets thrown into, like, a pit of needles, and it, like, creeped me the fuck out. And that's honestly, like, the only thing that I remember from that movie.
I remember the one, I think it's the second one where they're in the house.
Yeah, and they, like, need to work together to get out.
Yeah, I think that's the one with the needles. Because I remember I've seen that one. I just remember the first and second one. I don't think I've seen any of the other ones. I might have seen the third. I'm not huge on the Saw movies, but I don't hate on them. Like, they're fine for what they are. There's just too many of them. They should have stopped a long time ago.
No one wants to keep going.
They keep going. And every year they were coming out with those things forever.
Aren't they still? Isn't there, like, another one supposed to
There's another one, I think, that's supposed to come out. But they stopped coming out with them yearly a while ago, I think.
Yeah.
But I like James Wan because I'm a big Insidious fan. I didn't like the third movie, but I'm really excited for the fourth because I feel like it's going to be a good one.
He only did the first two, though, directing-wise.
I think that he's doing the fourth, though.
That's cool.
If I remember correctly. I know at least
He's doing Aquaman.
I think Leigh Whannell at least wrote the fourth one. I know they worked together a lot.
So yeah, I really liked Insidious. I really liked The Conjuring, the first one.
I felt that way. Well, we're gonna be doing a Conjuring episode. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Well, you'll hear our thoughts more on that.
So I mean, I generally like his style.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. So he did Saw,
Insidious,
Conjuring, Insidious 2, Conjuring 2. So he really only did the first Saw movie in terms of directing.
Right.
He produced all of them, I think.
Okay.
But he didn't direct them all.
Let's not forget.
Did he write
any of them? Let's not forget Furious 7.
Well, who could forget that?
Not me.
It looks like he had a hand in writing The Nun also, which is the new Conjuring movie coming out next year. All right.
So yeah,
we need to get off IMDb. Mortal Kombat.
I fucking love that movie, by the way.
The new Mortal Kombat that hasn't come out yet?
Oh no, the old one.
You like the old Mortal Kombat?
I love that movie.
It's not a movie. You can't.
It's so good.
Call that. It's like a visual experience.
So good. Classic television at its finest. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's talk about Dead Silence now. No more James Wan because we can't concentrate.
So yeah,
you stop recording on Monday nights when our brains are just gone.
My brain is fried.
It's so fried. So this was my first time finishing the movie. I have attempted to watch it a couple times and just didn't make it through.
Sure.
Not for any like real reason, not because I wasn't enjoying it, just because it's like I put it on to just put something on and then I did something else. But I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. It's a fine movie. It's fun. It's silly. There's some good jump scares.
Yeah. I think that's why I like it, because it's just silly.
It's silly. I did jump once.
It's like Donnie Wahlberg is just like so ridiculous.
He is. I think he. Now, don't get mad at me, but I'm pretty sure that he's a better actor than Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, Mark Wahlberg usually just plays like himself, right?
Yeah,
so it's really not. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I love when Donnie Wahlberg dies and his, like, shaver is just, like, vibrating on the floor. This makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah, I'm not
Someone
sure.
thought about that. It's Someone thought about so... that and made it happen.
Apparently.
Amazing.
There was also, like, some very... It was a very heavy-handed Easter egg of Jigsaw in the background.
Yeah.
They show it twice, and they, like, really fucking, like, put it right up front and center, so there's really no way you could miss it, which I thought was kind of funny. I'm like, hide an Easter egg. You don't throw an Easter egg in the middle of your screen. You hide it.
Well, they didn't really realize, because, I mean, I guess Saw was released, like, before this movie?
Yeah, it was.
Like, it was kind of, like, a sleeper hit, wasn't it? And then it became huge.
I don't know. I remember hearing about Saw a lot before it came out, and there was a lot. I thought there was a lot of hype behind it, at least in my group of friends. I remember my friend telling me the plot of Saw and what it and like that there's this guy and his leg is chained to a pipe, and the only way for him to escape is to cut his leg off. And I remember being like, oh, that's so brutal. I mean, this was before 127 Hours came out.
Yeah. I just remember being like, Cary Elwes is in it? Seeing it.
Of course you are.
Seeing it.
You're such a Princess Bride nerd.
Wesley, what up?
So I had a couple questions when watching this movie that I didn't really get answered. So maybe you can help me out.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Why does Mary Shaw need you to scream in order for her to call you or to kill you?
Because that's what the poem says.
Is it so she can cut out your tongue? Does she need to cut out your tongue to kill you?
Yes.
I'm not really because I'm not really 100% sure why it's called Dead Silence. Like, I understand they cut out the tongue, and it's
Well, it's
maybe-
called Dead Silence because they, if you're not, it has to be silent, otherwise she'll kill you. I half made that up.
You totally did. It was really good. No, but maybe, legit? I mean, I'm sure it has some, no, it didn't work for me, but I appreciate the effort.
I tried so hard.
Okay, so it must have something to do with ventriloquism and needing a tongue to be a ventriloquist. So they cut out Mary Shaw's tongue when they killed her.
Right.
So then she, in turn, needs to cut out your tongue before she kills you. I mean, it's kind of a stretch, but okay, I'll let that go.
Because it's scarier when she can just rip out people's jaws.
And then I'm not really 100% sure I understand the ending of this movie. So we have...
In what way?
Okay, I don't understand how the stepmom is directly tied to Mary Shaw.
I don't either, actually, and I thought about that this last time. Because I was very confused.
Well, I very much enjoy the visual of the dad being a puppet. I very much enjoyed that.
I did too. It was so cool. And I kind of forgot about it.
And I really felt like something like that was going to happen only because he looked fucking dead from the beginning.
He did. I was like, either someone did real bad makeup or this is going to come into play.
He looks fucking dead. But it's nice because they don't really call attention to it. And then at the end, it makes sense why he looks dead. And I appreciated that. I appreciated the imagery of him being a puppet very much. But I don't understand how the stepmom is related to Mary Shaw. Now, if they said that it was her granddaughter or her... she was possessed by the spirit of Mary Shaw... Maybe?
Oh, because she's the perfect doll for Shaw that was created just before her death, according to Wikipedia.
How is that explained in the movie? She's the perfect doll?
Yes,
how is she the perfect doll?
It says, back at his father's residence, Jamie is confronted by Mary Shaw, but he repels her by throwing Billy, the 101st and last of the remaining dummies, into the fireplace. He is horrified to learn that his father has already died a long time ago. The current Edward, quote-unquote, is the corpse converted into a doll controlled by Ella, who is the perfect doll, quote-unquote, for Shaw, created just before her death. He screams as Ella, possessed by Mary Shaw, goes after him to take out his tongue.
Okay, So
maybe was she married to him before...
So Ella is the perfect doll. So she was created by Mary Shaw. She's not human.
I have no idea. But she's definitely possessed. Yeah. So she is. She's the perfect doll that was created by Mary Shaw, that Mary Shaw possessed to then do all this shit.
I mean, they couldn't have shown something that would explain that better. It's really weird. It's out of nowhere.
Agreed.
They could have 100% they could have done a thing. They could have done a thing. Like even a picture, fucking something.
Cuz I guess it makes sense cuz she was taking all the kids and making them into dolls. So she was working on it.
Well, I'm okay. So here's where this is another point of confusion I had. So she's making physical dolls that are actual dolls that are actual ventriloquist puppets, if you will. But then all of a sudden she makes a marionette out of a boy, which is still there and
because
not rotted away.
Because he was being an asshole. He just needs to be taught a lesson.
Okay, so she made him into a marionette. But he's not really rotted away and he's still like kind of still okay. I mean, wasn't that a really long time ago?
Yeah, but he was preserved.
How?
I have no idea. Magic.
Okay. I'll let that go.
But look, then I'm not saying
so
this movie makes any sense.
Dolls out of people. I'm very confused about all of it. I know in the book it shows something about making people into dolls. It wasn't quite clear enough for me. Again, it's silly enough that I can just let it go.
Haha. It's a deleted scene. BT dubs.
You can't delete a scene that explained your movie.
In an alternate ending, Ella simply knocks Jamie out after he discovers that his father was a puppet all along. Then she explains that the original Ella was a human being with Edward as an abusive husband. Edward knocked her down the stairs and killed their unborn child. Ella dug up the grave where the puppet Billy was buried and became possessed by Mary Shaw. Afterwards, Ella makes a family photograph and then, dressed as Mary Shaw, tells a bedtime story to a child by candlelight, later revealed to be Jamie with his tongue ripped out, or would have been had they added the visual effect that they had planned. The story is the poem. Ella also reveals that only silence can save you from Mary Shaw, then blows out the candle before the movie ends.
Wow, it sounds like they cut out...
That would have been the best ending.
The only thing that would have made this movie better.
Come on, James.
What the fuck?
That would have been a great ending.
Why would they do that? That would have made this movie a million times better.
Agreed.
I'm speechless.
I'm longing for the ending. I want to buy this movie on DVD just to see that scene. It's probably on YouTube. Just kidding. I'm just going to YouTube it, probably.
That's such bullshit.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. People really know how to fuck up a movie, don't they?
Right?
Jesus.
That would have been
so
good.
That would have made this movie so good.
Yeah.
That would have been so good. Now I'm pissed. Fuck this movie.
We should write a strongly worded letter to James Wan.
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently the other writer of this movie, Leigh Whannell, was so unhappy with how the movie turned out that they decided that they were going to start writing scripts instead of pitching ideas to studios because they felt like the studio fucked with the story too much. So I wonder if maybe it was a production issue and not a directorial decision.
Maybe she was really pissed that they changed the ending.
I mean, I would be. That explains the whole fucking movie. How are you going to cut that out? That's the most important part. Let's cut out the only part of this movie that explains everything happening. That makes me sad. Because I think this movie would have been way more popular had that been the case. This fucking bombed at the box office, and that sucks. Because I don't think it deserves to be bomb at the box office. And I think a lot of people like this movie. It's got its own little cult following because it's kind of silly and fun.
Yeah.
But wow, that would have made this movie so much better.
I agree.
How very sad. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we move on to talk about It Comes at Night?
Nope, let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, so we're skipping our newest segment, which we call
Social Media Question of the Week.
We're
in
skipping
my head
it.
I literally was like, trailer trash talk.
Nope, not that one, the other one. We're skipping that this week because, not just because I forgot, but also because we only have a limited amount of time and we want to discuss It Comes at Night, which we both watched this past weekend. So we'll do a quick spoiler-free discussion right now, and then if you want to hear our spoilers and our thoughts on the movie with spoilers included, you can listen after the music, and we will spoil it all for you, and you won't have to see it if you don't want.
So, it'll be a fun time.
Yeah. So real quick, Carly, your reaction to It Comes at Night, spoiler-free, please.
I really liked this movie. Yeah. And going into it, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel because so I feel like all of the people that I know that genuinely love horror movies really loved this movie. I feel like people that I know that genuinely just love movies in general didn't like this movie because maybe it didn't explain enough for them or I have no idea. But so like going into it, I was like, what am I going to think? And I enjoyed it.
I'm on the fence. So I'm right in the middle. I feel like this is not a bad movie. This is not a great movie. I feel like this is kind of middle ground for an A24 production. It has a lot of ambiguity, which some people like. And I typically like, but it's a little too ambiguous for my taste. It's really beautiful, as most A24 films are. And, the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous. It's a great idea. It's creative. I love hearing modern horrors talk about this movie because they keep talking about how it's a zombie movie and it's really not. I mean, that's not a spoiler. It's not a zombie movie. It's about people. And, it's about people and relationships and dealing with...
it's not a traditional horror movie. There's no...
No.
There's no slasher. There's no zombies. There's no ghost. There's no, like...
No.
It's people.
It's about people. It is. And I think there's a lot of really good parts to this movie. It didn't quite hit the mark for me, but that's not to say that I didn't enjoy most of the film and was engaged the entire time. Even though it was pretty slow moving, I still felt very engaged and attached to everything that was happening. But there was a level I was hoping it would go to, and it didn't reach that level for me. So I was slightly disappointed. But I think it's worth seeing. I think it's really beautiful, but not... Not definitely not my favorite of the year. It's kind of middle ground for me.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't say it's my favorite of the year, but I don't know what would be. I don't know.
Maybe Split? You liked Split a lot.
I did like Split a lot. Was that this year?
Yep.
It's already June, I guess.
Get Out?
Oh, maybe.
I think Get Out's my favorite of the year so far.
Maybe that. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say it was my favorite, but
Let me put it this way. Did you like this better than The Witch? Because I feel like this is very similar, on the same par as maybe The Witch in tone, perhaps.
First viewing, yes. My first viewing of this definitely beat the first viewing of The Witch. I really liked The Witch, but I definitely liked The Witch more the second time that I saw it.
Interesting.
So, and I know that we've had this discussion before that I kind of went into The Witch thinking it was a different movie. So, my first viewing of this, I did like more than when I saw The Witch.
Interesting. I prefer The Witch to this a lot. But I think that if you like The Witch and you go in with expectations similar to The Witch, you won't be disappointed by this film and you might enjoy it quite a bit. So, okay. Well, we'll talk spoilers more after the break, and we'll get back to that. But let's move in and talk about what's going on with us a little bit before we get to that. You had a lot going on this weekend, Carly. You had some fun stuff that you did.
Yeah, I was really busy.
Tell the lovely people at home about that.
So I went to brunch. I went to at the Paley Center, if anybody is in LA or planning to visit. I don't know how long the exhibit's going to be there, but they are having a whole American Horror Story exhibit for all the seasons, and it's just a lot of fun. It's totally free. They have like all the costumes and some of the masks, and my favorite one was definitely the clown from
Twisty the Clown.
Twisty the Clown from, was that
Freak Show?
Freak Show, yeah. The amount of work that went into that thing is like insane, because the back of it where like he like it's just like it's supposed to be a scalp legitimately looks like a balding man's head. Like, wow. It is crazy. It blew me away, kind of. Like, that was definitely my favorite piece there. But yeah, like, it's insane how much work goes into these pieces that you don't get to see on TV. But like, being able to see them was completely fascinating.
Did they have anything for the upcoming season, which I believe is going to be pretty political?
They didn't. They stopped at Roanoke.
Oh, okay.
But they had like Lady Gaga's costumes. I didn't.
Okay.
Do you want to, though?
Like, yeah. You were enjoying it for a while, I remember.
I was, and then like, I don't know if something weird happened where I was just like, maybe I'm not following this well enough, but I seem to have more success with the seasons of American Horror Story when I binge watch them. Mm. Like when I started watching Hotel Live, I just couldn't. I like didn't like it at all. But when I binge watched it, I liked it actually. It was really good. So I think that's what I'm going to do with Roanoke, is whenever they put it on Netflix, I'll just go to town.
I'm kind of considering going back and watching some more American Horror Story. Because I kind of stopped after Freak Show, and I don't even think I finished Freak Show. But I kind of want to watch Roanoke, because that one interests me a little bit more than Hotel did.
I just really liked the way that they filmed Roanoke.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I told you, it was kind of like an Unsolved Mysteries or something, where they're interviewing the couple and then showing the reenactments.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really fun. I actually, I grew up in Chicago, and so I've always been fascinated by H.H. Holmes, who's, like, America's first serial killer who, like, killed people during the World's Fair. And Evan Peters' character in Hotel is, like, very reminiscent of H.H. Holmes.
Yeah. I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, so that's what kind of sucked me. Like, A, I love Evan Peters. B, H.H. Holmes. So that's kind of what, like,
drew you in.
Yeah, connected with me for Hotel, because I don't think you really see him until like the second or third episode.
Mm. And did you see anything else this weekend other than It Comes at Night and the exhibit?
I saw Wizard of Oz in the Cemetery.
Ooh.
Which was a lot of fun. So apparently they just like transferred Judy Garland's remains from New York and brought her to LA to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery to like be with her, you know, children, because all of her children live in LA.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, I guess when she passed away, her husband had her buried in New York. Her kids didn't really have any say, so they've been working for the past couple of years to like bring her here. So there's like this huge, beautiful mausoleum that they, you know, erected in her, you know, honor, I guess. But then there's also space for all of her family to join as well.
Mm.
But it was also her birthday as well. So it was really kind of cool.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
How nice
to see that. And very I cool. started Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I did too.
That's pretty much it, I think.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, I watched a lot of movies. I was not feeling great last week.
Aww.
So I was binging movies. I watched Return of the Living Dead on Shudder, which was amazing. I want to watch that movie a million times. I don't know how. Like, I think I watched this a really long time ago, but I remembered very little of it. Yeah. And rewatching it was just the most fun ever. The zombies in that movie are like no other zombies. And I really love and appreciate the creativity of that.
Totally.
And it's just so much fun. It's just so silly and fun. I saw Wonder Woman.
Yay!
Yay! And I really enjoyed that. Tony and I went on Friday night, and it was really fun. I obviously saw Comes at Night also. I saw Wonder Woman Friday night, and then I got up early on Saturday and saw Comes at Night.
Nice.
I watched Before I Wake, the Lost Mike Flanagan movie.
How was it?
It was good.
Is that streaming or you bought it?
No, I bought it on Blu-ray from Canada because I wanted to try and support Mike Flanagan. I think he has mentioned, not me mentioning it, I've heard him mention that it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. I bought it on Blu-ray because I knew it would look pretty. I knew there was a lot of like special effects and things in it. So I enjoyed it. I think it's a really creative story. It's not my favorite Mike Flanagan movie, but I enjoyed it. And I think that his writing is really different and interesting. I didn't love the ending, but I think all in all, it was enjoyable to watch. I finished Angel. So proud of myself for finishing that.
I am so proud of you for finishing that. You've done what I cannot do. So well done.
Thank you. Thank you. And like you, I started Orange is the New Black, which is now up. And I watched two episodes of I Love Dick, which is a show on Amazon Prime, if you haven't seen it, starring the Kevin Bacon. And it's very dark humor and insanely fun to watch for me. I'm really like taking my time watching it, but I so far I recommend it. I think it's a good time, but it's nice. Highly sexual and inappropriate and Kevin Bacon and awesomeness. So fun, a lot of fun. But yeah, that's it. So that's all I got for you. Anything
excellent.
Else you'd like to add before we close out?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them or to listen to Eddie and all of our episodes. We still have a lot of stickers to give away. If you'd like some stickers, send us a message on social media or email me or us at FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com with your address. And we'll send some to you for free because we love you and thank you for supporting us.
Yeah. Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also active on social media, so please interact with us. Find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Well, that's it for today, my lovelies. Join us next week when we talk about In the Mouth of Madness on Hulu and The Fog on Shudder. It is a John Carpenter fun episode ahead. Really super stoked to talk about In the Mouth of Madness.
Fun.
We kind of like skipped an episode we had planned so we could do this. I was like, it's streaming. We must do it now. one of my all-time favorites. I highly recommend watching it if you haven't yet. Like I said, it's on Hulu. Okay, that's it for today. Stay tuned after the music if you want to hear us talk spoilers on It Comes at Night. If not, listen to us next week. And until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye! Let's talk spoilers.
Okay.
So, what is it? What is the it that comes at night?
Stanley. He's the only thing that came at night. Or the little boy, the creepy little boy.
I mean, That's a little bit of a stretch, isn't it? Did you see my tweet where I'm like, okay, 5 hours after I saw this.
Wait, I did.
What comes at night?
Did anybody have any answers for you?
Yeah, I did. I did get some answers. Do I remember what they are? No, I don't really remember.
Were exactly any of them legitimate?
No, I think they were jokey answers. Terror, I think, was one of them. I don't like it. Okay, here's my main problem. I don't like it. Two things.
Oh, wait. Can I start one thing?
Sure.
So, the filmmaker that made Trey Edward Schultz.
Yeah.
Was asked that very question.
Okay.
So I guess he said that at night is when my brain gets active. It's when my insecurities and my fears come and I'm in my own head. So that kind of explains a lot of it.
It's kind of a cop out. Okay.
That's like what that kid is doing, though. He doesn't sleep.
I understand. Okay. Okay. So here's my main problems. Two things. One, when your dream sequences are scarier than the rest of your movie, I have a problem.
Psychological horror, that's what it's supposed to be.
I mean, I...
Like, I think that people that go into this movie expecting something different, very similar to when I went into The Witch expecting something different, you're not going to like this movie. But, like... This movie's terrifying because it's so, like, open and, like, that's just, like, people are terrifying. What goes on in people's brains is terrifying.
And I get that.
Everything that man did, he justified to himself. Like,
and I get that. And I don't think this is a bad movie. But to me, it doesn't register as a horror movie. And I think it's trying to, and it's missing the mark. And I think it could have just been pushed a little bit harder on the scares to make it a little bit more satisfying for the viewer. That's personally my opinion. I don't think it makes it a bad movie. I think it's a fine movie. I think the ending's a little too ambiguous. I'm a little tired of the ambiguous endings.
I don't understand what's ambiguous about the ending. I wish that it was more...
Who opened the door and how did
the little kid open the door?
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure it wasn't the older kid that opened the door? Because that's kind of where you're left, where you're unsure if it's the older kid that opened the door or the little kid that opened the door.
The little kid started showing symptoms before the older kid, and the older kid wasn't infected until he touched the little kid. The dog ran out into the woods. He was infected. The little kid was sweating in the living room.
Little kids get sick before big kids because they're smaller. Also, their immune systems aren't as good as older kids. In general, that's how illnesses work.
That's very true.
I don't think it was ambiguous.
Like, I honestly wish it was even more, like, more so.
Really?
I think this is great that we're having this conversation. Like, I don't know. I think this movie was super effective.
I didn't feel like it was super effective. I felt like it was almost there. And also, I think another problem, and this is not necessarily a problem with the movie, but like something that happens to me sometimes in movies that's frustrating, in that I came up with an ending in my head that I think is better than the ending in this movie. But it would make it a horror movie and not what this is, which I don't. I think that The Witch is infinitely more terrifying than this movie, personally.
I totally agree with you.
This movie, to me, is not scary. There's some disturbing things that happen. There's some really sad things that happen. There's some upsetting things that happen. But to me, it's not registering on the horror genre. Like, it's... I don't want to put a lot of, like, attention on, like, this isn't horror and this is. I don't really care. But to me, if I'm, like, expecting a horror movie, like, I'm expecting something that, like, terrifies me. And it just didn't hit that mark for me. Not hard enough, anyway. Like, I was really hoping for, like, a big blast at the end. And I got, like, a whisper. Do you know what I mean? And,
I think it's just what your idea of horror is, though. Because, like, horror, just like the definition of horror, is like an intense feeling of fear or shock. True. Or disgust. And those are things that I felt watching this movie.
And I just didn't, it just didn't hit me that way. And this doesn't mean, like I said, I don't think that this is a bad movie. It just didn't work for me the way it was intended. And that's not to say that it couldn't work for other people that way. And it's hard, and I would never say this is a bad movie and not to say that I don't think some people will really enjoy it. But for me, as far as like these really understated horror films go, especially the ones that A24 has been putting out lately, I mean, this is on par with The Monster. I mean, it's definitely better made than The Monster, but it's the ambiguity is still there, and the weird like undertones are still there, and just like. I just wanted more. I just wanted a big bang at the end. And I don't know why it's so out of fashion to just have that. Have that solid shocker ending. Why can't we have that sometimes? I feel like that's becoming...
We get it all the time.
Not with these types of movies, we don't. Like, how rad would it be if we had a movie like this that had a big fucking bold ending where the whole movie's understated and quiet and whispers and psychological and then some big bang holy shit ending at the end.
Cloverfield Lane was like that. It's very understated the whole movie, and then the end was fucking aliens. Sorry.
True. And I like that movie.
I did too.
I'm just saying, like, there's not a lot of that, and I feel like it's you either have these like big crazy blockbuster horror movies or you have these little quiet whispery movies, and I just want something combined. Why can't it be intelligent and fucking shocking and crazy? I wish we could mesh them together more. I feel like it's getting really polarized. That's it. And I'm not saying it's bad. It's just for me, I was hoping it was more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. It totally does.
But yeah, that's my two cents. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm pretty sure I left smiling in a weird way because its ending is really depressing. But I don't know. Like,
well, I'm glad it worked for you.
Yeah, it really did.
It's working for some people because I do want it. I want it to succeed. And like I said, I think it's a well-crafted film and I think it's really beautiful. And I think the story is really interesting. But yeah.
Just missed the mark with you.
Just not hard enough at the end. Just like, I just wanted like a ending and I got a ding.
I like subtleties. I don't know. I like, that doesn't bother me. Like, I like that kind of.
I usually do. I mean, how many movies do we do on this podcast that I like that have subtle endings? A lot. A lot of them. But because, I think because this movie was so fucking, like,
I don't think
whispery.
That was a subtle ending. Like, dude shot a child and the mother was like, there's nothing subtle about this ending. I think it was building up towards this whole thing and, like, then shit just hits the fan and people start breaking faces.
Subtle in what actually happens. Like, subtle
like
that
there's
in
there's no monster?
We don't see a monster. Like,
there
at all.
There is no monster.
We don't see...
It's a disease.
But we don't even really see the disease. We see it very little. I don't know. I think I just wanted a little something more. Like, how rad... Okay, here's my head. How rad would it have been... This would have made it a completely different movie, Carly, so you probably are going to hate it. But in my head, here's what I'm thinking. Whatever's out in the woods got in the house. They're blaming the little kid. Kill the little kid. They go back in the house, and there's something fucking in there that's been hiding in there the whole time. And that's why the door was open. The little kid was sleepwalking, came in touch with it. I mean, I'm just saying that would have been rad. That would have been really rad. That would have, like, got me so pumped. And I'm like, fuck, there's something in the house. They're going to go back in that house. That would have been a rad twist. That would have, like, stuck the knife in and twisted it for me. That totally would have made my day.
See, yeah, I would have, it would have been cool, but it would have also, that wouldn't have been the same movie.
I would have completely changed the movie.
Yeah.
But it would have been gut-wrenching and awesome.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah. Come on, admit it. That would make a movie awesome.
needs to be done right, I suppose.
I know, but if it could have been done right.
I don't know. I'm very satisfied with what they
made. I know, but pretend like you weren't. Just think of that ending.
Like, but pretend that you weren't.
Okay, I'm not going to get
it
you.
Has
it's
a
fine.
Better review than The Mummy, which also came out this weekend.
Everything has a better review than The Mummy.
I like love the first two Mummy movies. That whenever they keep trying to make Mummy movies without the original cast, I just get disgusted. I have no interest.
You just especially want Brendan Fraser back?
I want Rachel Weisz. I love those movies so much. It's stupid.
All right, well, let's close this out.
But yeah, I don't know. I really, really liked this
movie. We can
talk
about The Mummy another time.
So yeah, we'll do an episode on it. Just kidding.
It's not during spoilers if it comes at night.
By the way, The Mummy's so good. Not the new one.
Not the new one. Not that we saw it. I'm psychic. I know it's not good.
Fuck
Tom Cruise.
It looks terrible.
It looks so bad. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for today. Again. Closing out again. Goodbye again. And good night.
Bye.